Welcome to today's Word of Mom Radio here on the Word of Mom Media Network. I'm your host, Dori DiCarlo, and you know we are here week after week, show after show, just breaking those myths that mompreneurs and businesswomen and women building businesses from home are dabbling in between bake sales and getting our nails done. We're smart, we're savvy, and we are sharing the wisdom of women in business and in life. And I love the journey. And you know that we've reached out, you know, Harrow, for those of you looking for publicity. Harrow is Help a Reporter Out. And we put out a call. I do it maybe once a year. And I'm always amazed at the not only the responses that we get, but how many incredibly brilliant women there are out there. It's amazing to me how many women are out there empowering other women. And our guest today is no exception. Ellen Schinke is a scientist turned transformation and life coach. And I love it. Actually, I'm going to read you something from her site. It says, I'm not a health coach, a career coach, or really a life coach. I'm a lifestyle management coach and help high-achieving, multi-passionate millennial women manage their time and their priorities so they can create the lives they effing love on their terms. Women don't just want more. They want it all. And she believes that we can have it all. And using her three-pillar coaching philosophy, which we're going to get into, she's making it happen. And it's so cool because, you know, she was disenchanted and sick of living a life that felt like somebody else's life. And she kept wondering, is this all there really is? And she knew the answer was no. So she quit her PhD, took time off to travel the world and build her dream business. And now she's helping these high-achieving, and I love, multi-passionate millennial women take back their lives on their terms. So, Ellen, welcome to Word of Mom Radio.
Hi, Dori. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. I'm jumping right in. What is it to you, a multi-passionate woman? What does that mean to you? And how can women better embrace their multi-passionate selves? I'm jumping right in.
I love it because I actually feel like that's a great place to start, you know, telling people about myself, because I was that person, like when I was a kid and in high school and even in college, I was doing all of the things. You know, I was playing sport. I was, you know, in the, you know, all the high-level math classes. I was being a science nerd. I was doing musical theater and choir. I had all of these things that I was involved in. And it seemed like the older I got, especially moving into college, people were telling me to choose. They were telling me to choose this one thing, and that was going to be who I was for the rest of my life. And that never really that well with me. You know, I tried to pick the career path, which for me was science, and follow that path really, really diligently, you know, move up the ladder. But the more deeper I got down that path, the more it just did not feel authentic, you know. And I realized when I was in school and in graduate school that there were so many facets to me that I was, you know, downplaying, that I was trying to push aside to be this monofaceted, you know, PhD student, you know, microbiologist, this researcher. And I did not like that. So to me, being a multi-passionate woman is really embracing all of the facets of yourself and not just defining yourself by your labels, whether that's your job title or being a mom. You know, we're all so much more than that. And that was really kind of what originated my story and my journey, was starting to embrace all of those facets.
I love that. And how do you help women? How can we better embrace this ourselves? Because we, you know, I'm not one of those people that fights it, because believe me, I'm a mompreneur, I'm a business owner, I've got a radio show, we're launching a TV show, and I do it all to the best I can. I have a 15-month-old grandson that just is the light of my life. And for some people, juggling, keeping all those balls in the air just seems like the normal life. But for the, you know, we're the anomaly. And how are you, you know, helping women? Because let's face it, as women, we are constantly multitasking, but we don't seem to multitask well for ourselves.
Oh, that's a really good question. So I would say to get started, first of all, it kind of starts with having a little bit of clarity, which is one of my, you know, three pillars of coaching, which I'm sure we'll get more into. It's having clarity around what are those things that you're really passionate about that you're not making time for. You know, what are those things you want to do or be? You know, for me, when I was in graduate school, one of the things that I realized I wanted, as maybe crazy to some people as it might seem, is it had always been on my bucket list to run a half marathon. And I wanted to do that. And it wasn't something I was making time for. So it starts with having clarity on what those things are, what those those passions are that you want to incorporate into your life. And then it really kind of derives from giving yourself permission to start incorporating those things in. It might be something really, really small, but you have to know what you want, and then you have to start giving yourself permission to do that thing. Giving yourself permission is a huge part of kind of my story and my platform, and something that I really want to encourage women to do, is to give themselves that permission to just, whether it's changing their path or just giving themselves permission to do more of the things that they actually want in their day-to-day
life. I love that. I really do. And so you mentioned, you know, your three pillars, and I said that we would get into them as I was doing your intro. So clarity, getting clear on what you want.
Mm-hmm.
What's your next pillar?
It's actually not even just clarity on getting clear on what you want. You know, it's also clarity on what do you value? I actually find, you know, a lot of people talk about how they're very value-driven people. But when you ask them, oh, what are your values? Sometimes they can't articulate them with a lot of clarity, you know, or they can't articulate if they can say, you know, I'm very family-oriented or authenticity is a huge value of mine or whatever. They can't articulate how they embody that in day-to-day. So it's not even just clarity in what you want. It's clarity in who you are and some of those kind of deeper facets of your personality. So clarity is one. The next pillar is really confidence, because you can have all the clarity in the world about who you are and what you want in your life. But as so many of us know, as women, confidence is sometimes the sticking point to do the things that will start to give you those things that you want, or to, you know, start to embody being that person that you want to be. Sometimes confidence is that sticking point. Clarity breeds confidence, but there's also certain things that we can do around, you know, improving our self-talk or improving our relationships, because relationships are huge when it comes to confidence. So that's the second pillar. And then the last pillar is consistency, which is kind of where the lifestyle management piece comes in, because clarity and confidence are great, but you've got to consistently show up for these things that you want in your life, or these things that you want to be, or they're not really going to be a consistent part of your life. So clarity, confidence, consistency, all about the C's here.
The confidence thing, I think, is where women have the hardest time. And it's interesting. I just interviewed somebody, Beth Carter, who will, you know, you can listen to the archive of the conversation with Beth Carter. And we were talking about that very thing, that going back into our childhood, women were taught different things. We were told different things, that you can't be a good mother and a business person and things like that, especially women of my generation. You know, I certainly never instilled that. My daughter's 27 and she's working in Alaska right now, you know, and probably finishing her studies in Costa Rica. And you know what? It's all on her. She has done this all on her own. She has traveled so much of this world, backpacking and things like that, because she has that confidence. She has the confidence to have what she wants to do, and she's going to do it and isn't afraid to work for it and everything else. But, you know, my generation, I always think of that. We used to, our song, we used to open our show with, you know, I can bring home the bacon, fry it up in a pan. I don't know if you ever remember that commercial, because there was a woman in a business suit with a briefcase and a frying pan. And the idea was, and never let you forget you're a man, you know? And so when we were using it for Word of Mom, we changed the lyric to, and never let you forget who I am, because I'm a woman. And, but that, in my generation, was the first time anybody ever said a woman could have a business and a family. So this generation is growing up, the newest, you know, the people that are young enough to be my kids are now growing up with this, women can do this. But somewhere in the back of many women's heads, there's still those older women in their family going, oh, no, 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 you can't have that. You can't, you know, how do you break that?
Well, and I think it's that we have some of these older generations, like I've experienced that with, you know, my grandparents, my mom to some extent, but we have that older influence. And then we also, for those of us that are millennials, we also kind of have this, not just the stereotypes of women that we're trying to break through, but also kind of some of the things that people say about millennials, because millennials definitely get talked down to in a lot of instances in terms of what they should or shouldn't do and the ways in which they are or aren't entitled. So I would say, in terms of overcoming that, I always tell people, start with your self-talk. It sounds, you know, a little woo-woo, a little, you know, whatever, but really the only person we are with on a day-to-day basis, on a minute-to-minute basis, is ourselves and the inner monologue going on in our head. So if you can start with improving your self-talk and having a bit more self-compassion, that's really square one, in my opinion. And it really starts with awareness, right? It starts with being aware of what are some of those common things that you say to yourself, those phrases that you tend to repeat to yourself that are essentially limiting beliefs. They're things that you say you
cannot have or you cannot be. Start by recognizing those. And then once you have that awareness, you can flip that on its head. So I always encourage people to start with self-talk. I think that's square one, and having a bit more compassion in your self-talk.
I have to agree with you. I'm serious. I absolutely love this. I had put up a post one time, and it's like, watch what you say to yourself first, because, oh my gosh, we are our own worst critic and our own worst enemy. And my mother always told me that if you're not your own best friend, you know, I live alone. I buy myself fresh flowers. Why? Because I like fresh flowers.
Exactly.
And I don't need to wait for somebody to buy them for me, because I like looking over at my vase and seeing a nice bouquet of flowers in there. You know?
Exactly. Yeah. I do the same thing.
It really is. Good for you. And you know what? I have three quote unquote millennials. And every single time I hear somebody say, you know, lumped, I'm like, hey, are you kidding me? You know, here's what my kids are doing. So, you know, it's weird because I have friends, you know, that we're the millennial parents. So many of them never wanted to make their kids do chores or do things because, you know, my parents made me work. They made me do this. They made me do that. And then once their kids went to college and then moved back home because they didn't know how to make microwave popcorn, they were like, oh my gosh, maybe I should have been teaching my kids how to be self-reliant, you know, and because it just doesn't happen, you know, and I think that that's where a lot of times the lack of confidence will come in because, you know, it's like, wow, where do you start, you know?
Exactly.
And then you hear,
I think you've brought
you know,
up a great point as to like the next step you can take. Maybe you have great self-talk. Okay, well then the next step from there in terms of developing your confidence is about what little actions can you take to start developing confidence. If you are a millennial and you're someone who doesn't feel super self-reliant, okay, maybe the actions you start to take are trying to do, I don't know, laundry by yourself. But sometimes these little micro actions that we take on a day-to-day basis that just nudge us into our comfort zone. I'm not saying, you know, step off the cliff of your comfort zone here, but sometimes it's those little actions that nudge you into your comfort zone that start to build your confidence. I have a good friend who she calls them deposits in your confidence bucket, you know, little drops into your confidence bucket. Drops will eventually cause that bucket to overflow. So it doesn't have to be some big crazy action. It can be these little deposits that you make.
On that note, we're going to take a quick break and say thank you to our sponsors, and then we'll be back here in a little bit on Word of Mom Radio. As parents, keeping our school safe is uppermost in our mind. More and more schools are requiring students carrying a clear bag, but that puts the responsibility of keeping our school safe on the backs of our children. Safety Bags has a full line of bags, not only for the students, but for the teachers, the administrators, the sports department, school personnel, and more. Our line of clear bags and backpacks come with a 3-year warranty and can be used to raise funds for your schools and athletic departments nationwide. Please visit us at safetybags.com. You will see why we are the clear choice for your schools, because safety, it's in the bag.
We all know a survivor. Some of our friends and family have made it through difficult times. Some of us don't make it. Losing a loved one to cancer, a car accident, or any other unfortunate event can be crippling and unavoidable. But one of the hardest subjects to talk about is suicide. Too often, our youth decide that leaving this place is easier than facing the struggle forced upon them every day. More than 1 in 4 children go through some form of bullying or another. Most of us survive with scars, but for some, the inner demons created cannot be recognized or treated in time to ensure they make it through. Bullying in every form is very much avoidable. It starts with me, and it starts with you. This is Kelly Carius from No Such Thing as a Bully, reminding you to do your part when you see bullying happen. If you don't know what that is, call 403-447-4404 or go to nosuchthingasabully.com.
Hey, sports fans, take the hassle out of going to the game with the clear bags from StadiumBags.com. Our crossbody mini messenger bag, stadium-sized backpack, tote bag with different color straps, and ready-to-go travel bag meet the size requirements for pro and college sports. You can find us at
stadiumbags.com and get yourself the bags guaranteed to last season after season, because safety, it's in the bag.
And we're back here on Word of Mom Radio with Ellen Shankey, and we are talking about clarity, confidence, and consistency, which are the three pillars of what you share. And I want to know, in what ways have you given yourself permission to change your path throughout your life?
Oh, probably the biggest one is changing careers. I mean, that was, talk about clarity, confidence, and consistency coming together. Changing careers was a huge thing that I had to do to give myself permission to kind of step into who I knew I wanted to be. It was the clarity of recognizing how big of a part of my life coaching had become and how much I no longer saw myself in the career path I was down. It was confident in, you know, disappointing, you know, parents, mentors, even to some extent, some of my peers and my friends, and just kind of realizing I needed to do this for me. And then the consistency of making those small actions to start to develop my business and move out of this scientist identity that I had been so enmeshed in. So changing careers was a big one, but it also kind of, even before that, started as something else. You know, it was subtle things, like deciding that I was going to be the person who prioritized themselves and my health, whether it was working out or doing little things for my emotional health. It was, you know, things like traveling and just little things that I decided to do to start living for myself. So I think the career change was the big one, but it was also kind of these little micro actions that was me giving myself permission.
You know, in reading things that you've written on your site, what do you think is the most dangerous word in the English language, and how does it hold women back?
Oh, I think there are two, but my least favorite one is should. I absolutely hate it. Like, I inwardly cringe when I catch myself saying should and when I catch people in my life saying should, you know, because really when we say, oh, I should do this, I should do that, that is someone else's values and someone else's priority. Should is not, you know, self-motivated, typically. Sometimes it is, but should is, oof, I hate that word.
And what's your second?
Oh, my second is actually, yes. I think particularly as women, and, you know, probably a lot of times for moms as well, we say yes to too many things. And, you know, talk about something that holds you back from really starting to live for you and make time for your priorities and your passions. If you are so, you know, filling your calendar with so many things that aren't truly things that you care about or are interested in, that can be a really dangerous thing as well. So I think one of the best things women can do for themselves is to, A, nix should from your vocabulary, because no one should be doing things. They should be doing things out of a desire, out of a want. If you're doing things that aren't out of a desire and want, you need to really reevaluate some of the things that you're doing and some of the ways that you're spending your time. And then yes, I think it would really serve us to say yes less and to say no quite a bit more, so that we're really prioritizing our priorities and not somebody else's.
You know, it's interesting. We had another guest, and I think it was Monique Wells, who was like, stop saying, just say not now, or mm-hmm. I'll get back to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, and it's true. As women, we really do. We just, oh, sure. Oh, yes, I can do that. And then afterwards, mm-hmm. you're like, what was I thinking? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so really giving yourself permission to say no, or I'll have to get back to you, gives you that time to take that breath where you're not on that thought, you know? So I think it's interesting, you know, and so needs to be shared.
Yeah, sometimes it's not right now, or it's not a good time or something like that. I mean, we rescheduled this podcast twice, or this interview twice, because it wasn't a good time for us. And we both wanted it to be something that we could deliver well on and that it was a priority to us. And so sometimes saying no or saying not right now, it actually gives you a better deliverable and a better product. I had to do that a bunch in August because August was just a crazy month for me. So sometimes that not right now is you just saying, I want this to be a priority and I can't make it a priority right now. So I need to reschedule.
What do you think are a few of the things that hold women back from taking their lives back on their terms?
This really, I think, all come back to those three pillars, those clarity, confidence, and consistency. You know, I think one of the things that holds women back is that they're not 100% clear on what their priorities are, on what their values are. And, you know, that can happen when you've gotten enmeshed in a world that kind of isn't reflecting who you
are. And that really, you know, for example, when I was in science, I was really in that. I was enmeshed in this world where, you know, titles and the letters after your name and how many publications you have were really kind of the driving force of what made someone successful and what made someone, you know, a good leader or whatever. And those didn't really mesh with who I was. So I had to kind of develop a clarity around, okay, what are my values and how do they relate to this path that I'm on? And I realized that they didn't match up in any way, shape, or form. So I had to get really clear on what's the mismatch here and what steps can I start to take to rectify it. And then from the confidence perspective, I feel like we've touched on confidence a lot and how that can hold women back. But obviously, you have to be confident in yourself, in the decisions you're making, in your relationship, to really feel like your life is yours, to feel like you're living on your term, which is a phrase you'll see a lot on my website. You'll hear me say a lot. So confidence is really starting to, I think, clear. Clarity and confidence really mesh together very well, because when you have clarity, I always say clarity breeds confidence. So if you aren't feeling super confident right now, maybe it starts with creating that clarity for yourself and then doing some of those other things that we've talked about previously, the micro actions, the self-talk. And then the big one, and this is kind of my zone of genius, if you will, I'm very productivity and time management focused. I think one of the big things that holds women back is consistency. You can have all the clarity and all the confidence in the world, but if you have this big dream for your life and you want to make that big dream happen, it's going to require consistency. It's going to require commitment. It's going to require you showing up to that big dream. And if you don't, dream's not going to come to life, you know? So I think those are the three things. That's kind of why they're the three pillars for me, is because those are the core for all women, for all people, frankly, for creating that kind of life that they effing love, that's really representative of who they are and allows them to live on their terms.
All right. So give us your top tip for helping women take back their lives. And I know we're going to be repeating ourselves again, but they need to be hammered home.
They really do. And I actually love repeating myself in this context because I really want some of these things to stick. So top tip are definitely really getting crystal clear on your value. If there's any place I encourage people to start when it comes to their clarity, it starts with your values. I actually have a great values exercise and podcast that I can totally share the links with you if you want, for helping people get really clear on their values. Because I feel like once you have a picture of your values dictate your behaviors, your actions, your choices. So that's a great place to start when it comes to clarity. The next tip I have is check the negative self-talk. I know we've talked about this, but it's really, really important that we create more self-compassion in our lives. So checking your negative self-talk, you know, starting by recognizing it and becoming aware, and then working on changing it. And then last but not least, and this is kind of the consistency tip I have for everybody, schedule time for you. You know, on a daily basis, schedule some time for you, whether it's 15 minutes to sit and drink your coffee and read a book in the morning, or, you know, a little time to meditate, or maybe, you know, you just give yourself an evening where you can just go full on pampering and bubble bath and glass of wine or whatever, but schedule time for you. And it might seem a little OCD to schedule it, but I always love what Brendan Burchard says, where he says, ambition sucks without a calendar. You can always say, oh yeah, I'm going to make more time for me. But saying it is a lot different than actually making that time for you. So I highly encourage you to just schedule that time in your calendar, block some time out, and have that be your you time. So those would be my top tips.
Well, and on that note, what a great way to wrap up this conversation. Ellen, let everyone know how they can reach you, please.
Oh, yeah. You can definitely find me at my website, coachellen.com, Ellen spelled E-L-L-Y-N. You can also find me. I love Instagram. I'm an active Instagram user. You can see all of the shenanigans in my Instagram stories. I'm a very goofy human. So at Coach Ellen on Instagram, at Coach Ellen on Twitter. Those would probably be the best places to find me, but Instagram's definitely a go-to, and my website, coachellen.com.
I hope that people reach out. You really should. She's got a great website. Ellen, thank you so much. It has definitely been worth the wait to get you here on Word of Mom Radio.
And, you know, we made the commitment to make it happen, and I'm glad that we finally did. So I thank you so much for taking the time to share with us. And for all of you tuning in, on behalf of everyone here at the Word of Mom Media Network, thank you so much for spending time with us. I hope you enjoyed this conversation. We're closing out with our fabulous theme song from Smith Sisters Bluegrass. So again, on behalf of everyone, this is Dori DiCarlo. Go out and create a marvelous you. Bye for now.
She is sure,
she is sure,
she is strong,
she is strong,
she is true,
she is true,
she is brave,
she is brave,
she is bold,
she is bold,
she is you,
she is you, she is you, she is you,
she is sure,
she is sure,
she is strong,
she is strong,
she is true,
she is true,
she is brave,
she is brave,
she is bold,
she is bold,
she is you,
she is you, she is you, she is you,
sure of herself, yes, she takes care of biz, powerful and strong. Yes, she knows who she is, has integrity, woman strong and true. You know her by name, see this woman is you. She is sure,
she is sure,
she is strong,
she is strong,
she is true,
she is true.
She is brave,
she is brave,
she is bold,
she is bold,
she is you.
She is bold.
She is bold.
She is you.